All right, so for tonight, we're in inventory lesson number 11, and we're talking about principle number 4. And principle number 4, so let me just be clear, the principles, when we say principles, we're talking about celebrate recovery. When we talk about steps, we're talking about the anonymous groups, okay? So principle 4 says to openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone that I trust. And the verse that goes with that is Matthew 5:8, which says, happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I want to have a purity of heart. I want to be able to be real with myself, to be able to be real with another person, to let them know some of the things that I'm dealing with, and ultimately to be real before God. Obviously, He sees everything. He sees our behaviors. He sees our motivations. He sees the stuff that even that we can't see. That are part of our lives. In step 4, we read just a moment ago that we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And obviously the folks who first designed the AA program, this is them writing, and now by extension us, that we're making a searching and a fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So what we're doing tonight and what we're talking about doing tonight is not some kind of soft pedaling kind of thing. We're talking about being fearless, about going after all those things that we've always said, I don't think I want to go there. I don't think I want to have to deal with this thing in my life. It's about getting into that stuff and allowing God to do something with it. In Lamentations 3:40, it says, let us examine our ways and test them and let us return to the Lord. Okay? Some of the way we've been doing things in the past has gotten us in trouble. We've headed down wrong paths. And what this verse reminds us is that we need to, every once in a while, we need to examine how we're doing and test those ways. Test the ways that we've been, those paths that we've been going down to see whether or not they've been getting us in the direction that we want to go. I often use the imagery of a compass. And every once in a while, we need to check our compass. We need to make sure that we're heading in the direction that we're supposed to be. And so part of what we've been doing is talking about a spiritual evaluation last week and now this week. And this verse in Psalm 139 and verse 23, let's read that together from the screen. Ready? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we're not doing this alone. This isn't a searching of our lives that we do in and of ourselves. What we're doing is we're asking God to search us, to know our hearts, because the Bible says that we can't really know our hearts, that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. That's not really the seminar that you want to show up to, right? You know, your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. If you saw that was the topic of a seminar, you wouldn't show up to that. But if you think about it, we are we have this ability to deceive ourselves. We have the ability to think that we're going in the right direction when we're really not. We have a lot of blind spots. Let's face it, even those of us who are doing, you know, pretty well, we have blind spots. And this imagery that I put up on the screen is that of an iceberg. You know, the thing that sank the Titanic wasn't the thing that you would see above the water. It was what was underneath the water, the things that they couldn't see. And the things that are going to trip you up and the things that are going to trip me up are not the things that right now that we may be aware of. They're probably some things that are below the surface, some motivations that we might have for doing certain things that we're not even tapped into yet. And so that's the idea behind search me, O God, and know my heart. We want God to be able to get down to the lower parts, the deeper parts of who we are, the parts that maybe we've tried to go around or tried to cover over, those parts of us that we don't really want anybody else to know about. That's what we're talking about, is taking some time and space to get into those things and to allow Jesus to melt those parts of who we are so that we can look more like Him. So tonight's lesson is part 2 of our spiritual evaluation or inventory. Last week we looked at 4 questions that had to do with our relationships, looking at how are we doing with our spouses, how are we doing with our children, how are we doing with our parents, those relationships that we have, How are those going? We looked at our priorities. What are the things that we would put at the top of our list of things that we want to be part of our lives? And are the things that we're doing matching up with the things that we say are priorities? And do we need to do some shifting there? We talked about our attitudes. How are people responding to our attitudes? How are people seeing us? What is our attitude like? Are we grateful? Are we complaining? That kind of thing. And then integrity. Are we living out the values that we say we want to live out? How are we doing with our integrity? That was last week. So we're talking about our past actions in each of these areas, and we're talking about the negative effect or the positive effect that the way that we've been living in those areas. And one of the things that we should mention before we move forward in this lesson is that we want to keep this inventory balanced. Certainly, one of the main things we focus on are the parts of us that aren't working so well, because those are the things that are tripping us up. Those are the places that we need to look at. But we also want to realize that at any given time, we may really be struggling in a certain area, but we also have blessings. There are also good things that God's doing in our lives, and we want to call those things out into being. We want to be truthful that, yes, we may be struggling, but there are also things that are going well for us, or there are ways in which God is working in our lives, and we want to balance this thing out. We don't want to just spend all our time talking about all the dysfunction and the problems that we have. So part of what we're doing here is looking at some of the additional shortcomings or sins that prevent God from working effectively in our lives and in our recoveries. And think about it this way. I have three girls, and sometimes my girls need help getting dressed or brushing their teeth or different little things. And sometimes they don't want my help. Sometimes they want to do it on their own, but it's something that they can't do on their own. And sometimes they prevent me, as a dad, from getting involved in a part of their life where they need help. And so what we're trying to do tonight is to say to our Heavenly Father, what am I doing that's preventing you from helping me in any of these areas that we're going to talk about tonight? If there's some way that I'm preventing you from doing the work you want to do, help me to get out of the way so that you can do the thing that you want to do here. We're going to look at four areas tonight. We're going to look at our minds. We're going to look at our bodies. We're going to look at our families. And we're going to look at our relationship with the church. A couple things we need to remember. We're not doing this alone. We've talked about a support team, that you need to have an accountability partner if you're going to do this in a way that's going to make a real impact in your life. You need to have someone that you can talk to about these things, an accountability partner, usually someone who's around the same level that you are in terms of recovery. Perhaps you've heard the word sponsor. And a sponsor is someone who's a little different than an accountability partner. The sponsor is someone who's been through the 12 steps or lived them out. Some people have lived them out and made all kinds of changes in their lives, and they don't even realize that the same principles in the 12 steps are the ones that they went through. But someone that understands the 12 steps, someone that has been through a celebrate recovery program and has been through the 8 principles, that's the kind of person that you would want to choose to be someone to sponsor you, someone that you would bounce ideas off of, someone that you would take the stuff that you're learning and share it with them. And most importantly, we need to realize that we are growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, so don't sweat it. Next week you're going to be a little stronger, hopefully, than you are this week. Next month you're going to be a little stronger, and the month after. And so you're going to take that strength with you to do the work that we're talking about tonight. And I'm going to use the word discipline tonight. When we do this inventory process, it is a discipline. It is something that I don't think any of us would choose to do in and of ourselves, to want to do this. But it is a discipline. And I would also say that God is able to use it as a tool of discipline in our lives as well to prune us. The scripture says that we are like olives on a vine, and we bear fruit. And that fruit comes from the work of God in our lives as we yield to Him. And there are branches that we would have in our lives that are not bearing fruit. And the Bible says that God will come and He will snip away at those parts of our lives that aren't bearing fruit so that we can bear fruit on that branch. And so when we talk about the word discipline and how God's going to use this as discipline, we're talking about a positive thing. And here it is in Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Read that with me. Ready? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So God is going to discipline you through this process. He's going to show you the areas in which you need work. And he's doing it as a loving father. He's doing it as someone who really cares about you and wants you to grow. And in Hebrews 12, in verse 7 through 8, let's read this together. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are an illegitimate children and not true sons. And so if you're in a relationship with God, he is going to do this work of pruning that I talked about. Because everyone who is a son of his receives this kind of pruning. And we should take heart that if God's showing us these things through his spirit, that means the spirit is inside of us, showing us these things, that means he loves us. That means he cares about us. He doesn't want us. He sees us where we are. He accepts us where we are. But he doesn't want us to stay there. And so he calls us to higher ground. Discipline is an act of love. Hebrews 12:9 and 10. Let's read that together. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Okay? So his holiness is what he's working into us. And Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. When I discipline my daughters, a lot of times it's a painful thing. They don't want me to interject myself into their situations at the time. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So the work that we're doing in these inventories is going to pay off. God is going to use us in our lives to make us more than we are today. And it may be a little painful, but it's going to produce a harvest someday. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, Hebrews 4, so that the lame may not be disabled, but healed. And so there's a work of healing. That's the work that we're doing together. So we're going to pass out these inventories right now. So let's talk about the mind first. Romans 12 and verse 2 is there on your sheet. It gives us clear direction regarding our minds. Let's read this together. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, so there's a pattern that this world has. And if you want to know what the pattern is, just watch the television commercials. They'll tell you what the pattern is. You need to buy this house. You need to get this mortgage. You need to buy this aftershave. Like, you need all this stuff. And that's part of what it means that the world is trying to shape us into consumers. The world's trying to shape us into a certain system, a certain way of doing things. And there are all kinds of other things we could talk about there. But there's a certain pattern there. And the world tends to kind of shape us into a mold. And after a while, we start to say, I'm not sure if that's the way I want to live. Maybe my parents are expecting certain things of me, and you may expect certain things of me. And, in my interactions with people, out in my everyday life, they have expectations of me. And before I know it, I'm shaped into this mold and I have become something that I really don't want to become and that I shouldn't be. We'll take questions at the end. So what this scripture says here is that we have an opportunity to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's what these questions are getting at. Would someone mind kind of standing up there and reading just those first four questions about the mind for us tonight? Thank you. Yeah, just where you are right there.
Make great believer in Jesus Christ, and to victory and come to the penalty. Questions to ask yourself in this area. How have you guarded your mind in the past? What did you deny? Have you filled your mind with hurtful and unhealthy movies, internet sites, television programs, magazines, and books? Have you failed to concentrate on the positive truths of the Bible? Have you set aside a daily quiet time to give the God instruction manual for your life?
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it. So we're talking about guarding our minds here, but what we're talking about, there's a good guarding of our hearts and minds where we don't let junk in. What we're talking about here is sometimes we may guard our minds from good stuff, and there's a question here about what did you deny? And so sometimes we guard our minds from the truth. It's like we find out something that may be true of us, and we just cast it aside, or we knock it off, and say, I don't really care to know about that. And it's the truth that we're knocking over. It's the truth that we're pushing aside. And so in the inventory process, we want to be open in terms of our mind to open our minds up to God and allow Him to speak into our minds and to renew it. The second question is pretty self-explanatory. It's pretty goes into detail on the kinds of things that we need to guard our minds in a good way to make sure only good stuff is coming in and not stuff that's going to mess with us. The third one has to do with positive truths of the Bible. Somebody give me a sentence from the Bible that would be what we would call a positive truth. Okay. So we have a whole list of things that God says you can think on these things. If you think on these things, your mind is going to be vibrant in God. What are some other positive truths that we want to exercise our minds in? What do you think? Positive truth. Okay. It's all about what Jesus did and not about what we do. We join Him in that work of justification. Okay. The last one there talks about setting aside a daily quiet time to get into God's instruction manual. And the reason we do that is to renew our minds. Anybody have a computer? Yeah? Does your computer ever mess up? Your computer ever crash? Your computer ever get a program that doesn't work correctly? And if you call technical support, one of the first questions they ask you is, have you restarted your computer? And it's like, why did I take all this time out to wait for 30 minutes on the phone to have this guy ask me if I restarted my computer? It's like, after a while, you realize, maybe I should restart my computer before I make that phone call to customer service. Why? Because when you hit that reset button, I don't know what happens. I'm not a computer engineer. Something happens, and often the thing that was a problem before is not a problem when you hit that reset button. And I would suggest that getting into God's Word every day, for me, is like a reset button. And a lot of the hang-ups and things I've been dealing with start to work themselves out when I hit that reset button and spend some time with God. We're going to move on to our bodies. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19, and 20 are there in the box. I'm going to ask you to read that with me. Ready? Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you, and that He lives within you? Your own body does not belong to you, for God has bought you with a great price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God, because He owns it. Okay, so in terms of our body, there's several questions here. Would someone read those for us? Great. Stand up there and read them nice and loud for us.
In what ways have you construed your body? Have you abused alcohol, drugs, food, or sex? What activities or habits cause harm in your physical health?
Okay. So in terms of mistreating our bodies, a lot of us haven't really exercised the way we ought to. In terms of our sleep patterns, sometimes we're not getting enough sleep. We think about overworking. Sometimes our bodies are just going too many hours. We can think about stress here and our adrenal systems. And it's interesting to me to learn about stress and how that even good things, even the really good things, can bring stress into our lives. So I can be involved in one good thing after another, and sometimes just my movement from one thing to another, it's like there's too many good things going on. It's overloading my adrenal system, and eventually I start to crash because I haven't given myself rest even from really good things. And so this is just about how we're dealing with our body. Obviously, alcohol, drugs, how we're dealing with food, and how some of us kind of go right to the food thing when we're having a tough time, and we may overeat, or we may not eat enough, or we may not eat healthy. And then activities and habits that will impact our physical health. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of things here that we could look at. And then in terms of our families, on the next page, the back page is Joshua 24:15 says, if you are unwilling to obey the Lord, then decide today who you will obey. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. My wife likes this verse so much. She stenciled it on the back of our minivan. So it's a decision that we make to say, which direction is my family going to go? And which way, as I have leadership in my family, how do I want to lead my family? And sometimes we have to lead by example. And maybe the way we've been living before hasn't been so great, so we can't really talk to our family about it, but we can now live by example, and the changes that we make here, hopefully people will see that. People in our family will see that, and hopefully it'll help them make some changes in their lives and draw them to God. Would somebody be willing to stand and read the four questions that we have under family?
Sure. Have you mistreated anyone in your family, and how? Against whom in your family do you have resentment? To whom do you owe amends? What is the family secret you have been denying?
Okay. On the second one, resentment. Many times we talk about bitterness when we talk about resentment. And one of the things that Scripture points out about resentment or bitterness is that there's a root of bitterness. Many times for us, in our resentment and bitterness, we don't even recognize that it's something that's below the surface. But it's affecting how we're living. And I had a college professor who used to walk around campus and walk around the guy's dorm, and he was kind of like a counselor. Didn't get paid to do that, but on his extra time, he'd come over and talk to some of the guys, and I remember he said he kept asking me what was wrong with me, like week after week, and I told him that I was fine, there was no problem. But it was that root, there was a root under the ground, and he was seeing the fruit of it, but he couldn't see what it was, and eventually kind of dug around enough in my life that he figured out what this thing was. It was something bothering me, but it was really underneath the surface, something I had to push down. And I think a lot of us can relate to that, the pushing down of stuff. Eventually it pops back up. To whom do you owe amends? Amends is partly going back and apologizing to people that we harmed. And in our principles, we realize that it's not always possible for us to do that. It's not always a wise thing for us to go back and apologize to some people and given the circumstances. But where it is possible, where can we go back and make amends? And certainly we can ask forgiveness from God, regardless of whether or not we can go back to the person. And then family secrets. And I don't know why, but all the ones I came up with, a lot of them start with A. Alcohol in our families growing up, in our extended families. But it's kind of a secret, no one really talks about it. Abortion, something that's often kept a secret. Adoption. Abuse, adultery, anger, in my family, suicide, and there are other things that you may say have been part of your family life growing up or your extended family that are secrets that your family didn't really talk about. And so you're kind of left in your own bubble as to how to deal with this thing that's gone in your family. And then we're going to move on to the last one, which is your church. And the scripture here is Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Let's read that together. Let us not neglect our church meetings, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. Did anybody hear that the world was ending last week? It didn't end. You're all still here, so I guess nothing bad happened. On Sunday morning, I came and I said, there's a teaching that all of Jesus' followers are going to get raptured, and I kind of confused that with what was happening last week. So I came out on Sunday and I told our pastor, I went into his office, I said, "Oh, good, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you didn't get raptured." And he kind of took it funny. He's like, "What?" I was like, "Well, if you got raptured, then I'd have to speak today, and I'm not ready to speak today." So, in terms of our church, you know, there's someone that's been in my life and a part of my church life, and now he's not, and he's turned his back on the faith altogether. And I was talking with him this past week, and he said, "You know what? I really miss church. I really miss all those friendships and the people that I have relationships with in church. I really miss it. All my friends were there, and now that I've kind of decided I'm not believing in God anymore, he's had to turn his back on all that." And how much the more for those of us who want to believe or who do believe, this says all the more when we see that the things that are happening in our world match up with some of the things that we see in the Bible times. The scripture says Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take those of us who are believers. I don't know, I don't happen to know all the details of exactly how it's all going to work out, but it says all the more that we see that day approaching, we're supposed to be connecting with other people who believe. So there are some questions here. Have you been faithful to your church in the past? Someone called me today and said, "Wow, I've been going through a really tough patch these past few months." And they said, I need to connect with people in my church better. I'm just not connected, and that has isolated me, and I really need to get back in connection with others. Have you been critical instead of being active? There's always something to be critical about in church. And part of it is that the church is like a volunteer organization. There may be a couple of people that work at the church, the pastors, the secretaries, stuff like that, but a lot of things that happen in church life are done by volunteers. And so there's always something that just isn't going to go right, and there's always something to complain about. This question says, are we going to focus on those things in life in church? Are we going to focus on being active and doing something that we can put into it instead of just trying to get in church? And the last one is, how may you have discouraged your family in support of their church? And again, here's someone that I talked to about earlier who isn't in the faith anymore. He's renounced the faith. Yet, as I was talking to him, he's still supporting his family and even taking some of his family members to church. And so we have to ask ourselves, some of us maybe have had some really bad experiences in church, and, you know, and that's a difficult thing. We have to be careful that we don't spoil everyone else's experience of church because we had bad experience. Isaiah 1:18 is an important verse to remember as we work on our inventory. It says, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, this is God speaking, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Let's read that together. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. So what we're going to do here is we're just going to have some quiet time. I'm going to play a song quietly in the background. And I want you to look at some of the questions here and see which questions you might be led to. And if you could answer one question or two questions in the time that I'm going to give you, I'll give you a little head start before we go into our open share groups. And we'll come back and say the serenity prayer together. And then we'll have a few minutes for refreshments. And then we'll head into our open share groups.